there are some lies in our science books. Taught it for 15 years. Even though I'm not teaching it anymore, I still like to study. It's so many neat things to learn. We're going to cover some of that tonight.
Perception is being managed. We are being steered and guided by a hidden hand.
The whole world has been duped by the media that is not real.
Smart thinking, possible time traveler. Smart thinking.
That night, boom, contact memory.
And then, Alex, if you don't agree, you'll be sent to a re-education camp.
Just because I'm old doesn't mean I've lost my touch with the ladies.
A lot of people here tonight felt like they lost. You know why?
Now, experts are suggesting that we're in a golden age of shape-shifting reptilian sightings. Now, why is that?
I was, and still am, a huge conspiracy guy. I literally ran out of new tin hat topics to research.
It was most definitely not capable of melting steel.
Then I would be a crackpot if I thought that was the case.
Thought that was the case.
Welcome to the Hypothetical Institute, a podcast about conspiracies.
My name is Luke.
I'm Salt.
I'm Cam. Gentlemen, how are we?
Good, thanks. How are you, Cam?
I'm on top of the world, mate.
Salty, how are you?
I'm all right. What's going on with you boys?
Not a lot, to be honest. I've just done a day's work.
Nice.
And I watched some basketball.
Have you earned a hard day's, a big thirst, hard day thirst? I don't know.
are you trying to do a VB yet?
Yeah.
No, not really, I don't think. I mean, I don't think in the VB ads, sending emails.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be like part of the ad.
You're sending Gmails or you're filing your nails.
Yeah.
You can get it anyhow.
Yeah. Don't think that quite
Matter
fits
fact,
the.
Luke's got it now.
Doesn't quite fit the brief.
Nah.
I'd also suggest, just from a business model perspective, Robbo, doing a hard day's work and then rewarding yourself with a retail purchased beer is perhaps not the best thing for you.
Yeah, drink one of your own, mate.
Okay.
You don't buy it from your own bar.
Just have a free beer.
Tips all round. I do pay for my own beers at my own bar sometimes.
Isn't that the advantage of having your own bar, that you can just drink all day for free?
I'm just another customer when I'm on the other side of the bar, Cam. No special treatment for me.
I've got a bit of news. I've been down in Gippsland, boys.
Oh, yeah?
Someone tweeted something at us the other day about how dark it is in Gippsland. Because, you
proper,
know...
Proper Gippsland dark.
This has been a little bit over the years about how dark it is. Tell you what, driving at night on the back roads of Gippsland, it is pretty dark.
So I went to find some dark the other night, in the sense of I found some mushrooms in the forest behind my house.
Mm-hmm.
As all good stories start.
Oh, I don't know. I don't like where this is going.
And then I identified what they were.
Yeah.
And they sometimes can be bioluminescent.
Ah.
And I thought, well, that sounds awesome. I should go out in the dark and have a look at this glowing log that I'm anticipating.
Yeah.
The problem was, it was a full moon and it was way too bright.
Wow.
Mm. Just like a daylight. I didn't even need my head torch, really. I needed some of that Gippsland dark.
Yeah, you wouldn't have had this problem in Gippsland. The only problem with the mushrooms in Gippsland is they'll kill ya.
You got to be careful about the Gippsland mushrooms.
Yeah.
We need to find the happy medium between Gippsland dark and Gippsland mushrooms.
Yeah.
What are we talking
probably
about?
Those giant Gippsland earthworms, right?
We do have a few of those.
Have what you ever seen one?
I've been to the Giant Earthworm Museum.
I saw one at the Natural History Museum in London. They had a fucking Gippsland earthworm.
I went to London to see one.
Yep.
I remember there used to be a giant like earthworm you could walk through, but I assume that was not to scale.
Mm.
Was that the place where they found that shark, right?
Yes.
The Rosie the Shark. They found that at that abandoned museum thing.
I think it was around the vicinity. For listeners, there was at one point some museum had a huge shark skeleton or just like the head.
No, it's the whole shark.
It was a whole shark.
Whole shark in a tank.
In like a tank of formaldehyde, I think.
Yeah.
And then at some point they abandoned the museum. And you can't just
shark there.
You can't abandon a huge tank full of formaldehyde.
No.
You need to deal with that because time will catch up with you in the end.
Yeah.
And I believe it did. Like the tank was starting to crack and they're like, we need to get this giant shark corpse out of here.
Because it was made famous by a bunch of like urbex explorers who went and looked through the abandoned amusement park kind of thing. And got posted all over the internet. Oh, look, there's this fucking giant shark in this murky, gross old tank of formaldehyde. And then he started going there and looking at it, and it got, like, people were like, well, it's a bit dangerous if lots of people are going to look at this huge vat of formaldehyde. We better do something about it. So you can see the shark still. You can see it now at bloody Crystal World or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Put it in some other liquid. They put it into – they took it out of the formaldehyde, and they put it into, like – another type of stuff, but that stuff's really expensive, so they've only put a little bit in there, so the shark's not even completely covered by it. It's so fucking sad. Such a sad sight. It's like this half-covered shark and half of it's covered in towels. It's like, hey, look, we saved the shark. Like, yeah, okay. How about you fill a fucking tank up?
Yeah, so I just looked this up on Wikipedia. Basically, people started going and, like, damaging it and graffitiing it and stuff.
Yeah.
And then so police issued public warnings about dangers of visiting the shark because the damage done was starting to cause formaldehyde vapors to leak from the tank.
What are you about to get at, Rob? Are you saying that just because the police said something doesn't mean that people would necessarily do it?
No, like, why are the authorities not doing something about the shark?
Yeah. They're just like, Don't visit
this creepy shark in a tank, kids.
The cops are like, don't visit the coolest fucking thing ever.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't leave
this creepy old building and visit the best thing you're going to see in your whole life.
There is a building, it is unattended, it's not locked, and the coolest thing you could imagine is inside it. Do not visit it, kids. And let me remind you, this is the police telling you this.
It was in a town of 359 people. There is nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The first people to find that shark, that would have to be the ultimate urbex high, I imagine, to turn a corner and there's a shark in a tank.
And it's weird because the tank was so murky, you could only see it, like, when light came through at a certain angle. So they would have, like, walked around the tank and gone, what the fuck is this? Whoa! And just as, like, the light came through and, like, this fucking shark head appeared.
If I was in a video game and I came across that exact scenario, I would shit myself and stop playing the video game for a bit. Seeing it in real life? Crikey. They did restore it. The whole story is pretty grim on Wikipedia. It's just under Rosie_shark. But it's, like, known for, cause of death hunted, known for being found abandoned, preserved in formaldehyde.
Yeah.
What a legacy.
Yeah. Yep. There's nothing under, like, controversies on their Wikipedia page, is there?
I mean, there's the whole vandalism thing.
But Rosie the Shark's not going to get milkshake ducked on us.
No,
like,
no.
Poor Rosie the Shark is like, Rosie the Shark was a member of the KKK.
Yeah. Rosie the Shark's never been accused of assault or anything like that, no.
Okay, thank God.
Well, actually, no, she was, accused of assault. That's why she was killed, because I think someone was reported missing.
Rosie the Shark just got milkshake sharked.
Yeah.
And they did the whole thing of where it's like, oh, someone got eaten by a shark. Let's just go kill the first shark we find.
Well, I think the shark was killed first, and then they're like, it had got caught, and then it was impounded by the government because a woman had been reported missing, requiring a necropsy of the shark at the South Australian Museum. But it doesn't say whether or not they did find.
Yeah, did they find any arms?
No, it doesn't say they did.
Yeah. I think the shark's been wrongfully accused.
While the tank was still, like, while it was still in viewing, Wildlife Wonderland, it started leaking formaldehyde anyway. And they had to wear a hazmat suit to go and look at it. And then it was just closed down because it didn't have it didn't have appropriate licenses, and all the live animals were surrendered to the RSPCA, and then it was just abandoned, blah, blah, blah. Quite the tale.
Indeed. Quite the shoey to begin the episode.
Should we just make this episode about Rosie the Shark?
Yeah, I don't. This is way more interesting.
Luke and I know a lot more about Rosie the Shark than we do about what we're talking about in this episode.
Yeah, in my defense, I started doing some research and it seemed very dense and layered and fast moving.
Mm.
So I gave up.
Yeah. I will just say,
what are we talking about?
Read the shoey. Don't drink the shoey of formaldehyde.
No,
This week we're talking about Lexi Bonner, which is a recent case that has emerged from the United Kingdom, an island of very normal people. Robbo, just before we started this episode, Salty said, this is a fun one, right? And my response was, this is about a teenager bashing the shit out of a little kid. So the answer to that question is yes, it is a fun one.
I think you're going to have to do a bit of work to get over the top with that one, Cam. What do you mean?
It's not a fun one. Well, no. Look, this is a tough sell. That's a tough sell. I have a tougher sell ahead of me because the sell that I have to do is this kid getting bashed wasn't so bad. And there are there are about 20,000 people on the internet who have publicly called for the basher in this incident to be curb stomped. So I have an uphill battle ahead of me.
This feels like a Bill Burr stand-up special where he says something really controversial, like, you know, it's okay, or women should always make men a sandwich or something. And you're like, oh, my God, how's he going to get out of this?
Yeah.
Mm. And he uncomfortably does.
Yeah.
Cam?
It's going to be like that, but without getting out of it in the end.
Yeah, right. Okay.
All right, so the other day I got a phone call. It was the ABC in Perth, and they were saying, Cam, we know you're an expert on viral videos. We read your article in Crikey. Did we talk about this on the podcast, the thing I wrote for Crikey?
We did.
Yeah. We read your article about fake viral videos, and we know you're an expert, and we know that you're in your adjudication era. You're serving hot takes and adjudications.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like you to come on the radio and talk for 10 minutes in the car park before you go into a movie about this video of a girl bashing an 8-year-old. So this radio host in Perth, their kids came to them at the dinner table the other day. They said, Mum, you've got to see this video of Lexi Bonner bashing poor little 8-year-old Alex. It's this 14-year-old girl. She is approached by an 8-year-old in the park. He just wants to play. He's a little autistic boy. He just wants to play. And she's like, I don't want to play with an 8-year-old. I'm going to bash him instead. And so she bashes him. And then Mum, there's these photos of this little kid. His face is all beaten and bloody and bruised. He's in hospital. Mum, what do you think? And it's like, these are conversations that are happening around kitchen tables across the country, folks. It's not just this one radio host, but I do have to say, hey, kids, what are we bringing this to the dinner table for? I guess it's something they'd seen in the schoolyard on their phones and it'd concern them. So if something concerns you that you see on the internet, you should talk to your mum about it. But
yeah, shouldn't we be encouraging more open conversation between teens and kids?
Yeah, no, and I think that's what's happened with this mum. If it was my kids, I'd say, what are you doing coming to me? Well, if it was my kids, I'd say, good job coming to me in my adjudication era. I will adjudicate whether this is real or not. But like for an ordinary parent who's not a radio host or is not in their adjudication era, I'd say, kids, go play video games, get on live chat with strangers, talk to them about it. You don't need to be coming to me at dinner with this. Anyway, that's not what's happened. They've come to Mum. Mum has said, well, I think are you sure this is real? And they're like, yes, it's real. It's on the internet, Mum. Come on. She said, well, Mom. I have the power as a radio host to just call random people and get the experts in fake viral videos and get them to weigh in. And so that's where I've come in. And I think that's a really good power to have as a radio host.
Mm.
I sort of, when I got this call, I saw my life sort of stretching out in front of me. I was like, oh, I'm going to be getting all of these gigs, you know, ganging up on little kids with their parents on the radio. I was like, this is going to be great. I'm going to be the guy that's like, yeah, that's right. Your kids are stupid. This video is obviously fake. So then I went and watched the video. Mm. What the video is there's these little kids. They're in a, like on a basketball court playground sort of thing. This small boy comes up to a girl and her friends, and he's like sort of tapping on her arm a bit, and she starts chasing him. And she chases him sort of out of shot, and the people that are filming, there's a couple of kids filming, they chase after her, and they catch up to her, and she's sort of pushing him around. There's a few cuts. This was all like filmed on Snapchat. There's another shot where she's like, gives him a little kick in the balls. And she's like, ha-ha, you're not ever going to have any kids now. There's another shot where she sort of, like, drops him on the basketball court a little bit, which is with a little bit of a thud, and all of the kids are like, ugh. The story is that she's 14 and he's 8. And like I said, there's this photo of him bruised, bloodied, looking like he's been through the ringer. Some people were saying on the internet, oh, the little boy died. So it got quite extreme. So this is what's going around the playgrounds, you know. Lexi Bonner, 14, killed Alex, 8, or put him in the hospital or whatever. It's a little bit vague because sometimes she's 15, sometimes she's 17. I saw one video where they're just like a woman bashing an 8-year-old boy. And I had to come to this radio host who was promising me, you know, years ahead of explaining that their kids were wrong about things, and say, actually, your kids are right. This video is real. This really happened. The tricky thing is that it's not about an 8-year-old boy and a 14-year-old girl. It's about a 10-year-old boy and an 11-year-old girl, and they're like friends.
Right.
And they were just mucking around.
Right. But the photos are real?
The photos are not real. They're of another child, and they're sort of clearly not of the child from the video.
Right.
So what's happened is that they've filmed this on Snapchat. It seems like they're sort of play fighting. You could potentially, from what happens in the video, when they run away and they sort of run out of shot, you hear one kid say, oh, we can't see it. And it seems like maybe they were filming like a little skit about bullying or something. It does seem like it sort of does devolve into actual bullying at one point. When the kid gets dropped on the concrete, all of the kids are like, oh, like that was too far. But the fact that they're like, they react like that when they do go too far suggests to me that earlier on they were just mucking around a bit.
That's something that happens in play fights or stage fighting.
Yeah.
Is that things get too heated, too hit up. They Live, the famous example.
So what happens in They Live? They fight. Did that turn into a real fight in real life?
Yeah, so the alleyway fight was supposed to be a lot shorter, and basically they just started getting more aggressive and just basically fighting for real. So it goes for ages. It's like a 7-minute long fight. Yeah, good movie. And look, there's kind of a lot of mythos around that fight, and every time I watch it, I go, oh, yeah, it's okay. Like, it doesn't certainly come across as, like, the craziest fight you've ever seen on camera, but it's a great film fight and an even better movie.
Was that, did it go on as long as it did because, like, neither of them wanted to lose?
No, I think just ego, probably. Yep. Yeah, I think just ego. I think just, like, because, you know, Your adrenaline's going, you're stage fighting and you're all pumped up, and you know, it just doesn't, like, the line between excitement and adrenaline suddenly can switch, right?
Mm.
If people out there haven't seen They Live, it's so good. I can definitely recommend it.
It holds up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those sunglasses are still cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I saw some the other day. Because I have this memory of us all trying to find out what kind of sunglasses they were.
Yeah.
At one point.
That is a real memory. You didn't just dream that.
Yeah. And I went to Costco a couple of weeks ago, and they had some sunnies in there, and I was like, holy shit, they look like those.
Yeah, right.
I forgot to take a photo of them.
I remember us looking up They Live sunglasses, and it's like, I would have thought that some of the most famous sunglasses in cinematic history, there would be someone, some nerd would have been like, oh yeah, those are...
Yeah, Ray-Ban. Model TR7753 Ray-Bans or something.
Yeah, Ray-Ban Wayfarers or something, which I think maybe is sort of what they ended up being like, but there was no, there wasn't anything like that. It was just like They Live sunglasses. Oh, do you want to buy the sunglasses, but they have They Live written on them? It's like, no, I want the sunglasses that let me see that people are lizards.
They do sort of say that the fight was always supposed to be a bit of a joke anyway, or a bit of a like, it doesn't really have a purpose, and the whole kind of purpose of it was for them to you know, this kind of toxic masculinity of two guys just losing the control.
Well, in the movie, the point of the fight is that one of them wants the other one to wear the sunglasses and the other one inexplicably won't put them on, even though he's not aware that wearing the sunglasses will shatter his illusions about the world he lives in.
He doesn't. He's worried that he puts on those sunglasses, he might end up gay or something.
Yeah. Put these on. No, I don't like them. Put them on.
Which doesn't make sense because they're so sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If they were like dainty sunglasses or like John Lennon style sunglasses,
Dame Edna glasses.
Yeah. 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 Oakley wraparounds, and it's, you know, it's in between the eras where they weren't cool.
You want to know something, a little bit of side trivia in relation to John Lennon's glasses?
Yes.
I saw them. Saw his actual glasses.
Right.
At the Beatles Experience in Liverpool.
There you go.
They've got his actual round sunnies there on display with the piano and one of his jackets.
If you put them on, does everything look like a song?
Oh, mate, you can't touch them. They're behind glass.
Ah, okay. Oh. That's because they're too powerful.
Yeah. Like, we can't let the secret get out.
All right, so Cam, we've had a fight.
Yeah.
You've determined that the way it's been sold on the internet is like not as is, but there was still some fisticuffs.
Yeah.
isn't like kids getting beat up in the schoolyard normal? Like, I guess in our time that fight isn't going out of the schoolyard. You know what I mean? Like, it's sure. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's right. But how is it notable enough? And I know there's the age disparity, and there was sort of saying he's an autistic kid or whatever. But how is it notable enough to get now? You know, like, things just get blown so out of proportion now.
I would say. Okay, so this is the story that has gone out is it's an 8-year-old boy and a 14-year-old girl. Although, like I said, I saw people saying 15, 17, or just an adult woman has done this. A 14-year-old bashing up an 8-year-old, and with the video is not actually as bad as the way people are talking about it. But if you're saying that one of these people is like 14 and the other one's 8, so there's a 6-year age difference, that is actually, it sort of does make it look a lot worse.
Mm.
I think if you look at that video and you say, well, one of these kids is a small 10-year-old boy and one of them is a slightly taller 11-year-old girl, then it's like, it's not anything. It takes a lot of the sting out of it just knowing the actual age disparity.
Mm.
There's a huge difference between a 1-year gap and a 6-year gap, but also there's a massive difference between like, an 8-year-old and an adult. And also in the story that comes out is this, you know, the strangers, this little boy just wanted to make friends, but they are friends. I saw one comment, which was the only comment I saw that knew what their ages actually were, said they just had a falling out on the day and that they were friends again the next day. And I don't know if that's true, but that's the only person that actually seemed to know anything about them. So I'm sort of leaning towards that maybe being the case, but I did find like the Facebook page profiles of everyone involved, and like their mums are friends, so I can imagine that the kids are friends too. Or it could be one of those things where it's like, you know, you're being forced to hang out with your mum's friend's kid, and well, what are you going to do? You're going to sort of torch them a little bit, which in our day would have been very normal. And I think in today's day is also very normal. But what happened is it's been filmed on Snapchat. It's then been screen captured and it's been going around like Snapchats, WhatsApps, Insta stories and things like that. Like in this community where it was filmed in the UK. And then someone has like put it on TikTok. And so it went viral on TikTok. It's gone viral on everywhere. It was on Instagram, like publicly. It was on Facebook. It was on Twitter. There was something like I saw like 40,000 tweets just about with this girl's name. That's including retweets, but like a lot of tweets. Mm. And also on what's the other one? Reddit. There was like threads on Reddit with thousands of comments. And they're all a lot of the comments are like, we need to bash this girl. We need to find out where she lives and bash her. And then people are like, well, we've got an address. This is the address that we think this girl lives at. And no, absolutely no checking about whether that was accurate. Never mind the fact that it wouldn't be right to post the address of an 11-year-old and say, let's bash her if it was correct. But I'm just saying that they hadn't really done their homework. Just tens of thousands of comments saying we need to, and literally specifically saying we need to curb stomp this little girl.
Did she, is that actually her real name?
No. So it's like a nickname. So, but it is like a name that she uses. But so they haven't, it's not her actual real name that's attached to all of this stuff. But yeah, it's the other thing that happened is that heaps of fake Lexi Bonner accounts have started up. So on TikTok, there were like people setting up TikToks called Lexi Bonner. And I think the idea was, oh, I want to know what happens next. So I'll follow Lexi Bonner on TikTok. And they're just random people just harvesting followers. There was also an account in the name of Lexi Bonner that like went on into a Discord chat with some Instagram / TikTok influencer type to like have a debate about it. But it was obviously a fake person and they were like playing into this chav persona for this kid. Being like, oh, yeah, I don't regret anything. And obviously fake, but, like, that got tens of thousands of views as well and sort of also, I think, perpetuated a lot of the hate. There was a GoFundMe set up for the little kid by just a random woman who, interestingly enough, if you, like, go back through her Facebook not too far, there's some great threads where she's, like, talking about alien disclosure.
Right.
I don't know specifically what it was. It was like, you know, when we were sort of getting alien disclosure stuff on the reg, like in with the US Senate. I think something must have come out about aliens that lived underwater. Cause there was this comment thread where someone was like, of course, I always knew they were living underwater. They've been with us the whole time in it. It's like really British. Like, of course they were living underwater the whole time. And they've been having a laugh all this time. That was great. But, yeah, is this woman, she's just a random woman from the UK. I think there's a certain type of person who sees something happen on social media and is like, you know what, I'm going to start a GoFundMe. I don't have any way of contacting the people involved. I'm just going to start raising money. And we'll play it by ear. And that seems to be what they've done. I don't think it's like a con. They've then gotten in contact with the mother of the child that was bashed and have discovered that, oh, actually, this child wasn't bashed that badly. He's fine. The photos are fake. He, like, had a couple scrapes maybe, a couple scraped knees, but he's otherwise fine. And so they got £5,000 of it out of it, which is pretty good. But what one thing I thought was interesting was, like, in some of the comment threads on the GoFundMe woman's page, people came into them and were like, oh, this is about the little boy that got bashed and is in hospital with broken bones. And she's like, oh, no, I've actually spoken to the mother. He's fine. But this is what happened. And they're like, oh, there must have been two bashings then. So I heard about this other thing and now I'm hearing about this new thing that's not as bad. It's like, no.
So even when told the facts, still.
Yeah. They're like, no.
Still willing to.
I still believe the first thing that I heard, and I can't, because this other, the reality is like so banal in comparison to that. There must have been just two incidents.
This is just a great example of everyone needing to weigh in with an opinion on something that, like, as I said earlier, in our time, this just was kind of a, you know, it would be isolated to a community, it would be talked about for a week and then never discussed again. And now that, you know, people pick it up on it, people share it, and some of the videos that I did see about it, you know, people were saying, you know, this is awful and this, you know, how awful this is and stuff needs to be done. And you know, these are people so far removed in different countries to this whole thing. Like, you don't need to spend any energy on having an opinion on a schoolyard fight in a different country.
No.
But a lot of those cases, it's people just knowing they can farm it for clicks on YouTube or whatever their platform is and get views and, you know, hopefully get that little bit of little hit of serotonin when you get, you know, a viral video.
Yeah, well,
And maybe turn it into some money if it's, say it's a YouTube that has a, you know, it's a monetized channel. So, yeah, it's strange, isn't it? Like, there are certain things that, and this will happen again, I'm sure, that don't need to take off, have no reason to take off, yet will take off. And the nature of them taking off will encourage more people to weigh in on it.
Mm. I think also the way that people have, like, profited from this one, like, is only going to encourage the next thing, right? It sets a model.
There's no shortage of schoolyard fights on the internet to find. And
also, that's the other thing that's happened after all of this. So it's this video is going around. It's also, I think, it's also at the same time as it was going viral on social media, it's been going viral in schoolyards. And so in the UK, I saw like one mum's net thread about this where people were talking about their kids talking to them about it. And it's like clearly in the schoolyard, it's the big gossip topic. And I think as it sort of could be anywhere, they're like, oh, it was the next school over, like the next town over, this happened in, the girl killed the little boy. It's been going around. But like, as we know from ABC Perth, it's going around Australian schoolyards too. So it's going viral online, but also it's like becoming an urban legend IRL. But then the next thing that happens after it goes viral is that people are like, I want this girl to get bashed. I want to get her to get curb stomped. And then people start posting videos of her being bashed, but they're just like random school fights from like other occasions where young women have been bashed in the schoolyard. So I think one of them was from New Zealand even. It's like a really nasty bashing. And like, if you watch the video that they posted, they're like, oh, Lexi Bonner got jumped. And it's this girl in the schoolyard and these two girls come up to her and they just literally just kick the shit out of her, kicking her in the head and shit. It's so far removed from the original video of like people getting sort of shoved around a little bit. That's like, wow. And of course, all allowed on like x.com. Sort of not really that moderated anywhere else either.
Yeah, right. I mean, I couldn't, and as I said, I had a cursory look. I didn't have a full deep dive. I couldn't really find all the footage. I found a lot of videos reacting to it and saying, you know, we can't show you this. This is awful. But that was only really surface.
Yeah. I watched one just before, and it was one I hadn't seen before, but it had 40,000 views on YouTube. And he's watching it and he's calling her a woman. It's like this woman beat up a little kid. And then when he's like showing the actual fight, he like puts a big blur all over it. Which makes it look a lot worse than it is. Oh, it had to be blurred. I also saw people commenting on it. They're like, I could only watch 2 seconds. Well, it's like, if you watched the whole thing, which is about 30 seconds, you'd see that it's not so bad.
Yeah, okay. So it's still going, and this is going to go around for ages, right? This is going to be one of those things that...
I think so. Well, until people listen to this podcast and realize they've been silly billies.
Good.
It's sort of interesting though, like there was a big story out this week about the eSafety Commissioner in Australia. They're talking about whether they should have more powers, and one of the things that they want to address are online pylons, like people all piling under one person. And I've been looking at this case in that context and thinking, like, what could you possibly do? Because It's tens of thousands of people that are piling on, most of whom are anonymous. So how could you, how do you intend, and it's across like every social platform, how do you intend to take action on this?
What was the go with the curb stomping thing? Because that seemed to be a theme. Like, why that?
I think it was just someone just said it and it sort of caught on. Like, we need to punish this girl. And one person said, we should curb stomp her. And it sort of became the meme. We're going to curb stomp Lexi Bonner.
Like, we're going to Naruto run at Area 51.
Yeah. Like, the hyper-violent version of that. And I think if these people knew that they were talking about an 11-year-old girl, they might, I don't know, maybe they might think twice about saying we should curb stomp an 11-year-old girl. Who knows?
Okay. Well, I guess that's not as bad as what I – no, I mean, I figured there was something a lot more to it. But, yeah, not as bad as how it's presented.
Hmm.
We need to stop having opinions on everything.
Yeah.
That's what gets us into these messes.
Well, it is that thing where everyone has weighed in.
Mm. And like, I know that it's we're weighing in by talking about it, but we're not doing, you know, we're not getting mad at, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's different.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. Well, was that it?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, on the radio.
Did you get on the radio on ABC Perth as a result of all this?
Yeah, I did. I said, I think the kids might need to learn about misinformation in the schools. It was my takeaway. You gotta have a point on the radio. We don't need one on the podcast. But but it's like, you know, when we were in school, like they'd put like an Andrew Bolt column in front of us in English class and be like, pick apart all of the ways that Andrew Bolt is lying in this article. I don't know if the education system has like evolved beyond that level of teaching about misinformation.
Yeah. I guess misinformation is pretty sophisticated these days as well.
Yeah. But maybe we need a system where the kids can see a video. What I said is, if you're watching a video and it's making you angry or making you feel some sort of strong emotion, you need to stop and think about what's the agenda of the person who put this in front of me. And then you need to think, is what I'm being told is in the video remotely similar to what I'm actually watching, rather than just taking the cue that, because I mean, these kids don't look 14 and 8 either, really. I couldn't judge a child's age from looking at them. They're all just tiny people to me, but these kids should know. If you're 12, you should know what an 11-year-old looks like.
Yeah, they do come in varying sizes, though.
Yeah. And let me just walk that one back, because I'm not going to blame little kids for having fallen victim to a massive misinformation machine that is just generating huge profits for these tech companies with zero care about the victims. So I will walk that way back. It's not a kid's fault, but we could be teaching kids better critical thinking, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah. That's,
We could alternatively have a system where there's not a huge attention economy profiting from people lying about things. One or the other.
All right. Well, that's good. Thanks, Cam.
Hey, no worries. Let's have some news.
Hey, should we do it?
Look at that. It's just a couple of things, I think.
All right. Item number one is from New Zealand. Aotearoa. Hey. Robbo, what's the deal with these gun-toting fake diplomats?
We've got some sovsits who, I think they got off on all the charges.
They did.
One of them was sentenced to 9 months supervision back in 2022 for having illegal firearms.
Like an AR-15 as well, right?
Yeah, like pretty illegal. But they, the kind of interesting thing was they got pulled over by the coppers. And this is according to the police summary of facts. This comes from the wakatotimes.co.nz. According to the summary of facts, when the defendant was asked for his driver's license, he produced the fraudulent diplomatic immunity card, end quote. And then the article says, remarkably, it worked. On viewing the document, the police officers allowed the defendant to leave in his vehicle in circumstances where they were led to believe he was a diplomat. So you just have a little card saying you're a diplomat, and the cop's like, all right, well.
Because, like, well, I've seen Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Like, is that the movie with diplomatic immunity? No.
Is it like Lethal Weapon 4 with Jet Li?
No, it's Die Hard.
It's Die Hard.
It's Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Right.
Oh, is it with a Vengeance? It's one of them. Oh, no. It's not Lethal Weapon.
There's no diplomatic immunity in Lethal Weapon?
I don't think so.
You know what was good? Loaded Weapon. Did you ever watch
Loaded? Oh, no, sorry, it is Lethal Weapon 2. I'm completely wrong.
Yeah, thank you.
Jeez.
Oh, you're making me doubt myself.
I think I've had a whole Mandela thing going on here. Lethal Weapon 2.
Well, it's like they wouldn't let you put something in Lethal Weapon 2 if it wasn't true.
Mm.
That's probably that's what the cop would be thinking.
I've completely misremembered entire scenes from Die Hard movies, it turns out.
Yeah. There are foreigners in Die Hard who, if they could have just played the diplomatic immunity card, it would have saved everyone a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I mean, they just kind of got away with it by being charming.
Yeah.
For a lot of it.
Like, if you're a cop, and especially if you're like a New Zealand cop, like so much of those movies rings true. It's like, at a certain point, you are too old for this shit. Like, that's true.
Yep.
And so you'd be thinking, well, if you can be too old for this shit, and it would be like a real pain to get shot in the line of duty 3 days from retirement.
Yep.
With in sight your pension and you get shot, you're like, I am too old for this shit. This is very unfair. So the diplomatic immunity thing, I think, takes on a patina of truth based on those other truths.
Yeah, it's fair. That's fair. Maybe that cop had once sat on a toilet and there was a bomb next to it. And they're like, oh no.
So how did it all conclude? They did end up getting off everything with their diplomatic immunity?
Pretty much, yeah. It seemed to work. Yeah.
Nope.
Let me just.
There's not a tiny bit of news that you could give us about the ending of this?
Not guilty. They were not guilty with whatever. The article's really long, so I just kind of got to that point and gave up.
That's the problem with reading
on the agenda. Bottom.
Yeah, next on the agenda.
Added at the top. That's your problem.
Yeah. Should have skipped right to the bottom. It is an interesting story. I remember I read it a few days ago, and it was like, yeah, okay, that's. You know, the whole Sovsit stuff is always kind of interesting because it's so stupid, but it works, it seems.
All right, the next item here is from The Independent. Why did the internet turn so violently against Amber Heard? This is all based on a podcast, which is called...
The podcast is called Who Trolled Amber?
And the answer to that question is at least 50% of the... conversation around Amber Heard was not real.
Well, yeah. So I haven't actually listened to the podcast, but I listened to an interview with the guy that made the podcast. And one of the major boosters of this was Saudi Arabia. And basically, Johnny Depp has a lot of close ties to Saudi Arabia. At the same time that they were boosting these, he was over there doing like tourism campaigns for them, and they funded some of his movies, and he's sort of close personal friends with some of the high ranking government figures. And a lot of the accounts that suddenly became pro Johnny Depp and anti Amber Heard accounts, especially on Twitter, were, if you go back a couple of years, were tweeting pro Saudi Arabian government things in Arabic.
Mm.
And basically, Saudi Arabia has a huge presence on Twitter. Like it's really popular in Saudi Arabia, and so the government uses it in a giant bot farms to push out propaganda. And basically, that was a big part of the Amber Heard stuff. Because I think anyone that was kind of around the internet would have saw there's a lot of toxic stuff around it, and people like people that. Your friends from high school on Facebook are suddenly like super mad at a random actress. You're like, well, that's strange. And basically that was all influenced by a Saudi bot campaign. It wasn't just the Saudis and it kind of started before they got involved, but there was a big boost of the second half of the whole court trial.
There you go. Those bloody Saudis. Yeah. At it again.
Yeah. Isn't that, I just thought that was bizarre and interesting.
First 9/11, then Amber Heard.
Yep. Yep.
The next item we've got here is from r/conspiracy. The title of it is, an 8-year-old cryptic YouTube account predicted Russia/Ukraine and Iran/Israel. All of the comments on this are like, this is like classic R conspiracy. We talked in the last episode about like how R conspiracy dropped off when Trump got elected, and that's what all of these comments are. This was the bread and butter of R conspiracy in 2017 before it went downhill after Trump got elected. Multiple comments like this, and then the original post, this post has been removed by the moderators of r/conspiracy.
I'm not sure why it got removed. So Country Bluff, it's one of those accounts, and it's been, they've tried to connect it to Cicada 3031 or whatever that was called.
Yeah, 3301.
Which was allegedly an online kind of role-playing game or cryptic puzzle that if you manage to solve the clues, you will get recruited into a secret government agency or something. Or the FBI or the CIA are using it. And there's a few of these kind of things out there. And this one's been going for a while. It's called County Bluff. And, yeah, you jump on there and there's a whole bunch of just kind of nothing YouTube videos that are allegedly codes or whatever. But it freaks people out. There's one comment that was like, does anyone get a super uneasy feeling from his videos, like sick to their stomach? Mm-hmm. Not sure what this all is. I have my theories. And ultimately would love for it to just be a highly detailed ARG. But that one video of his with the old NBC news broadcast literally gave me sleep paralysis later that night. Oh. And I've never had that before in my life.
I have to say, when was this video from? 7 years ago?
The account's been partially active for 8 years.
Yeah. I feel like even 8 years ago, you could put out a video being like, something's going to happen with Russia and Ukraine, and something's going to happen with Israel and Iran, and you might be on, you might, at some point in the next decade, something might then back that up.
Yeah, they had there's a lot of random just videos of a location, and it's like the camera's filmed tilted, and it's got a filter on it. On the side,
these people with their sleep paralysis, they're being like tricked by Dutch angles and things.
Yeah, they are being tricked by Dutch angles.
Like, so this one was, I don't know why I'm so uneasy watching this slightly askew angle.
This one was LOC1 Maui Street 50, and it's apparently in Maui, and that's where some fires were a month later. Mm. It doesn't even look like Maui, to be honest. It's just like a waterfall. I mean, I guess there's strings of numbers and coordinates and stuff in all the videos, but like there are so many little effects over the videos because people are like, oh, this is a Russian number station and it's used to transmit code behind the, you know, in plain sight. But they've put like, you know, they've put effort into putting filters and like fake glitches and stuff over everything. So like, I don't know, if you're doing just straight boring spy shit, you wouldn't chuck it into After Effects and, you know, start doing some fancy work on it. Like, it just doesn't seem the way to do it. I watched a live stream. So they had a few live streams over the years as well, and one went for an hour, and it was just this, I think people worked out it was from a hotel in Tulsa, and it was just of a street and nothing really happening. But then at one point you can hear some Morse code. So it's got people jazzed up, you know, enough to be like, this is the heyday of conspiracies. We're back in the golden days. But, yeah, it's one of those things that might just start taking off further if the person behind County Bluff wants to do a QAnon thing. I feel like they could quite easily parlay it into a really, really bad thing.
Yeah, because all you got to do to give these people bad dreams is put the camera on an angle.
Yep.
So take the ball and run with it, I say. The next item here, this is another bit of classic, this is a bit of classic r/UFOs. The post is, UFO didn't show up on camera. And it's just like this, is it even a picture of the sky?
It is a picture of the sky. The person was credible. This is I went into the comments of this one and had a look, and the person was like, oh, I definitely saw it. My son saw it, and then we filmed it, and it wasn't there.
Yeah. And it's just like –
and people like
– it's just gray cloud.
Yeah.
Like an almost – it could just be gray color background.
Yeah. I don't, it's a funny thing, and people obviously in slash UFOs were pointing out that, you know, this is ridiculous. Like, this is low effort even for us.
Yeah.
That subreddit did pop off this week with Ross Coulthart, the Australian journalist, doing a Q&A.
Did he say anything interesting?
Nah, not really. He alluded to some things. It's so lame, all that stuff. Coming back to the, I guess, earlier you mentioned UFOs coming out of the water, there's a little bit of talk about a Bermuda Triangle UFO-related thing that apparently is being disclosed, or one of the guys in this cooked little world is saying that that's credible. But it's once again all these same guys talking to each other about the same things.
If I was Ross Coulthart, and I wish I'd gone into the AMA so I could ask him this, I would say, Ross, Channel 7 right now is in shambles. Now is the time for you to pop in, pop your little head in the door and say, guys, it's me, Ross Coulthart, your unproblematic fave. Give me some money. I will go check out the Shroud of Turin. I will go to the bottom of the ocean and find a UFO. I'm going to do all the shit that can never go bad. Like, what's the worst thing that can happen from me going and fucking around with pyramids? Nothing. So just give me some money and I'll go do it. This is the time, Ross Coulthart. Seize the day.
Yeah, it's probably fair enough. They're probably pretty desperate. And, I mean, they have aired his in-depth documentaries, in inverted commas, before. So,
yeah. Say, do you want to give $100,000 to Bruce Lehrman to blast karaoke at all hours? Or do you want to give me $100,000 and I will go fucking dig up a mummy and we'll have a look inside its skull? I know which one I'd be going for right now if I was Channel 7.
Yep, yep.
The final item here, a bit of moon news. Have we got a special moon news theme?
No. We do have three themes, don't we?
Yeah.
Two. No, three. One's not actually official because I just sang it the first time.
Yeah. All right, bit of moon
which
news.
Which I need to actually make a proper recording of. Look, a couple of these things could have gone into the original theme that was Creepy Cam. So maybe I need to record that this week, so make sure, you know, when I'm doing news about, say, County Bluff doing creepy camera work, we've got the Creepy Cam theme song.
Yeah, let's make it the Creepy Camera theme song.
No, doesn't really rhyme with an extra syllable.
Little bit of moon news from Mashable.com. The far side of the dark side of the moon explained. What's going on the far side of the moon? It's not dark.
So this fella who is a long time politician, Bill Nelson. He's now, he's head of NASA or like something in the they're calling him NASA Administrator. I don't know what that means. But he was giving a talk in a budget hearing for the US Space Agency, and China are landing a lander on the other side of the moon, the far side. It's crazy. Sometimes I just don't believe that it's true, and then I don't know enough about it, and it's, you know, the moon just doesn't turn. It's always fixed. It just doesn't make any sense to my tiny brain. But he was saying, like, we don't know what's on that other side. So we're not going to land there because we don't actually know what's there. And people have come out and, like, we know what's there.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we have worked this out. We've been, you know, there's photos taken of the other side. He also says it's always in darkness. So even for my basic understanding of how the moon works and how I don't really understand, he doesn't really understand how the sun works.
Yeah.
And how we so he's been caned over this. Alex Jones did at least one 30-minute segment about it all. But it has kicked off a little bit more discourse around the moon landing, I've seen. People are popping up and going, oh, well, you know, what else are they lying about? Because there's that other quote where another high-up NASA person a few years back said, we've lost the technology to go to the moon. We don't know what happened to it. And basically saying is, like, we put all this energy into this one thing and then, you know, we did it and then we didn't need it anymore. And so we just don't have the, you know, like you're doing a big project, you do the project and then you don't keep doing that project.
Yeah.
Is what he was saying. But all that, so all that stuff's coming back.
You work on it for a bit, then you just start another project.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you start another project.
Yeah.
You got to have at least 8 projects and then think about starting a new one without finishing all, any of them.
Finish none of them.
Yeah.
Because I think that they do still have the technology to get to the moon.
Well, they do. They just need to bring it all together and put the energy into it. And then
I reckon they could do it, doing that. They could do it very easily. But because, yeah, what's there? Just cheese. We can make our own.
Yeah. Mm.
Besides the fact that this guy doesn't, like, understand basic moon stuff, which, to be honest, I don't think I'd thought about the fact that you only see one side of the moon, and it's just because of how it all spins around. But he should know better. And also, if I was him, if I'm a NASA guy, I feel like NASA people should know about conspiracy stuff, right?
They should.
I think he should know that. You shouldn't say, "Oh, we don't even know what's there. We couldn't go because we don't know what's there."
He has been to space. Ooh. He was a senator.
Phil Nelson.
Hang on, I'm just reading his Wikipedia page. Became the second sitting member of U.S. Congress to fly into space after Senator Jake Garn, when he served as a payload specialist on mission STS-61 aboard the Space Shuttle Columbus. Okay, well, fuck. Come on, man.
Come on, dude.
Get this guy out of here.
Yeah.
He's pretty old now.
Yeah, and he's got space madness, probably.
Yeah, do you think he has been infected in space by something?
Yeah, he's got
that. And that thing is stopping him. Yeah. He's 81 years old.
He would know about the other side of the
world. Get out of here, buddy.
It's the space madness kicking. Like, you can't tell them. You can't tell them what's really there.
He's from Florida, the retirement capital of the world.
Let him retire.
Just fucking retire, dude. Like, what the hell? Are you having any fun in your life? Just, you've got enough money. Jesus.
Got all that space money.
All right. He's got that space money.
Let's wrap it up then. Robbo, where can they find you?
You can just here, really.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been putting out some blue skies that have got no traction, and a couple of them I'm like, oh, thought that was a good one.
If people are not happy with Robbo's defense of an 8-year-old boy being bashed up by an 18-year-old girl, you can go and listen to old episodes to get the address that he is physically located at much of the time.
LukeRules.bSky.social.
Salty?
Salt?
I'm just trying to think of what to plug.
OnlyFans.com/salty?
No, I started a Patreon.
Oh, even better.
Which I'm posting art that I'm not posting anywhere else, really. And just making it a general. That's where you can find out stuff about me. I'm going to be doing some studio updates once I've started moving shit over into my studio. So that's going on. Other than that, just fucking, I don't know, twitch.tv/thesalt. Salt. Art by Salt. Yeah, artbysalt.com. That'll do.
Cool.
Cam?
You can find me at Sexenheimer on Twitter and on Collective and Mastodon and Blue Sky. And of course, you can find me on just tune into any ABC station on a Thursday evening, and I might be there just adjudicating over a viral video.
All right.
Just rock up to any ABC station anytime, and you might get Cam.
Yeah. You don't know where I'll be. All righty.
You find us on Patreon.
Oh, yeah. And thank you, Tammy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tammy, and everyone else.
All right.
Have a bloody good one.
Yeah.
I just opened up Facebook and I've just got a plug to make. Mm-hmm. For Shuey's Barbecue. I don't know if this is a proper... He's got a YouTube thing, but he's from Gippsland.
Oh.
Yeah, Shuey's Barbecue. He's got a YouTube channel. He's making some pork belly lollipops on YouTube. So check out Shuey's Barbecue on YouTube.
Oh, you might find me around Shuey's.
Yeah.
If I can find it in the dark.
We talk about Facebook listening. What the hell? Like, come on.
Yeah, why is it showing you something from Gippsland? Anyway.
Specifically, Shuey's barbecue.
We can't get into that right now. That is sus as.
Okay.
Folks, Robbo, it was a pleasure. Salty,
yep.
An absolute delight as always. Mark Zuckerberg, fuck off!
Yeah, get out of here, Zucko. Bye.
And all of our listeners, we love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Don't worry about a thing. Except if all our world leaders are alien reptilians. I said don't worry about a thing. Except maybe the fluoride in our water supply contains mind-altering drugs. Don't worry about a thing. Except whether or not Port Arthur was a false flag operation in which to disarm Australia. I said don't worry about a thing. I accept. You can definitely hear John Lennon say, I buried Paul at the end of Strawberry Fields forever. Ooh, don't worry about a thing. Except not only did Bush do 9/11, but he also keeps the planes out in Area 51, which, let's not forget, where all of the aliens are. Don't worry about a thing. Except Donald Trump is clearly a woman, and you're just blind if you can't see them. Why don't you open your eyes?